Welcome to your deep dive into the fascinating world of wine tasting. You sent over some interesting material, and we're ready to explore the science behind those elegant rituals. You know, the swirling and the sniffing, all that. Is it really more than just looking fancy?
Oh, absolutely. It really unlocks like a whole hidden language in the wine, like layers of aroma and taste that you might miss otherwise.
Okay, so picture this. You're about to enjoy a glass of beautiful red wine. Why do we pour just a tiny little bit at the bottom? Wouldn't a full glass be more fun to start with?
Well, a small pour, it kind of sets the stage for what comes next. That elegant swirl you mentioned. With too much wine, you just end up with a splash instead of that graceful movement that helps the wine breathe.
Breathe? I thought wine wasn't alive.
Not literally.
Mm-hmm.
But giving it some air does wonders for the aroma. Swirling increases the wine's surface area, so more of those tiny aroma molecules can escape from the liquid and get up to your nose.
So swirling makes the wine smell stronger. But how does our nose actually translate those swirling molecules into, say, a whiff of blackberry or a hint of oak?
It's like a lock and key system, really. Deep inside your nose, there's a patch of tissue called the olfactory epithelium. It's packed with millions of tiny receptor neurons, and each neuron is designed to detect specific aroma molecules.
So when I sniff the wine, those compounds are like floating around, bumping into receptors until click. A match.
Exactly. And when a receptor is activated, it sends a signal to your brain, which interprets it as a specific smell, whether it's that fruity blackcurrant or the earthy aroma of forest floor. It's amazing. Humans have like 340 different odorant receptor genes, so we can perceive this vast array of aromas.
340. No wonder a single glass can smell like a whole orchard and spice market.
Okay.
So we've swirled, we've sniffed. Next comes the actual tasting,
yeah.
But even that has specific steps.
Yeah, and just like with the swirling, there's a method to the madness. Instead of just gulping it down, you gently swish it around in your mouth, making sure it reaches every part of your tongue.
Why is that so important? I thought taste buds were just kind of scattered everywhere.
Well, they are scattered, but different areas of your tongue are actually more sensitive to certain tastes. Sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and umami. By swirling the wine, you're ensuring all your taste buds get a chance to chime in and create that full flavor picture.
By giving every member of the taste bud orchestra their own solo.
That's a great way to put it. And it's this combo of aroma and taste working in perfect harmony that gives us the full sensory experience of the wine.
Okay, I'm starting to see why these rituals, the pouring, the swirling, the sniffing, and the careful tasting are important. It's not just for show. They're actually tools to help us unlock everything the wine has to offer.
Exactly. And as we dig deeper into the science of wine aromas, you'll see just how much info is hidden in each swirl and sniff.
I'm ready. Bring on the science.
Yeah.
So let's talk about those aroma compounds themselves. What exactly are they and where do they come from?
Wine aromas are a fascinating symphony of chemicals, mostly volatile compounds that evaporate easily and waft up to our noses. One of the big players is a group called esters, and they're responsible for those bright, fruity notes we love.
Esters. That sounds familiar. Aren't they used in perfumes, too?
You got it. Think of the juicy pear and apple aromas you get in a crisp Chardonnay. Those are esters at work, giving the wine that fresh, fruity character. Then you have terpenes, which create those floral and citrus notes we associate with varieties like Riesling or Muscat.
So the next time I smell roses in my Riesling, I can thank terpenes for that floral magic.
Absolutely. And we can't forget about lactones, which often contribute to those creamy, buttery, even coconutty nuances, especially in wines aged in oak barrels. Speaking of oak.
Oak aging. Now that's a whole other layer of intrigue, right? How does spending time in those barrels change a wine's aroma?
Oak maturation is like adding another instrument to our aroma orchestra. During aging, compounds like vanillin, which gives that vanilla aroma, and cinnamaldehyde, which is responsible for spicy notes, seep out of the wood and into the wine.
Oak barrels are like a spice rack for wine, adding their own special flavors.
Mm.
But it seems like there's a lot that can go wrong, right? What about corked wine?
That's a great point. Not all aroma compounds are desirable. Wine faults, as we call them, can really mess things up. And cork taint is a great example, caused by a compound called TCA. It can come from contaminated corks, oak barrels, or even infected grapes. It gives off this musty cardboard-like smell that masks the wine's natural aromas.
It's like having a beautiful melody and someone slams a cymbal right next to your ear. Not exactly harmonious. But even when things are going right, I'm guessing everyone perceives those aromas a bit differently.
You're right. Even among the good aroma compounds, there's a huge range in how sensitive we are to them. Some have very low odor thresholds, meaning we can detect them in small amounts. Others are more subtle, and some people might not smell them at all.
So one person might pick up on a hint of violet while someone else smells nothing. That's wild.
And to make things even more interesting, our sensitivity to smells can change day to day, even within the same person, depending on things like their health or mood or what they just ate.
So much more goes into this than I realized. I'm starting to feel like a wine detective.
That's the spirit. There's a whole world of nuances to explore, and we haven't even touched on how things like alcohol content and even our own saliva can change how we perceive those aromas.
Hold on. Saliva. Now, that's something I never considered. Tell me more.
Well, you see, saliva plays a crucial role in how we taste. It's like a solvent, helping those taste compounds dissolve so they can interact with our taste buds. And the chemical makeup of saliva varies from person to person.
Okay, that is fascinating. So someone with, like, super saliva might pick up on flavors that others miss completely.
Exactly. And on the flip side, some people's saliva might actually suppress certain flavors. It's one reason why the same wine can taste so different to different people.
Mind blown. And you mentioned alcohol content, too. How does that factor in?
Well, remember we talked about those odor thresholds? How much of a compound we need to smell it? Alcohol can raise those thresholds.
So a high alcohol wine might be hiding some of its aromas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like they're under a blanket of booziness. But when you swirl the wine in your mouth, some of that alcohol evaporates. As the level drops, those hidden aromas pop out, like they're finally getting a chance to sing.
This is incredible. I'm seeing why those steps of swirling and sniffing are so important. They're not just about looking fancy. They're about unlocking the full complexity of the wine.
It's about giving the wine a chance to express itself. And there's another layer to consider. Our own minds can play tricks on us, influencing how we perceive wine.
Oh, yeah. Like if you give someone white wine tinted red, they might describe it using words for red wines.
Exactly. The power of suggestion is strong. Visual imagery plays a role, too. If someone's talking about sun-drenched vineyards or juicy ripe berries, it can actually make you perceive those flavors in the wine more strongly, like painting a picture that your taste buds can follow.
It's amazing how our brains can influence our senses. It makes sense when you think about how often we misinterpret things. Our expectations and experiences shape how we see the world, even a glass of wine.
Absolutely. And here's something that shows just how subjective taste can be. Even pro wine tasters with years of training often misidentify wines in blind tastings.
Wait, really? The pros get it wrong too.
It happens more often than you think. It just goes to show that taste isn't just our senses. Our expectations, memories, even our mood plays a part in how we perceive a wine.
So even with all the science behind wine tasting, the experience is still personal. Maybe that's part of what makes it so captivating.
Exactly. It's a journey of discovery, and everyone's path is unique. That's the beauty of it.
So knowing all this, what's your advice for someone who wants to step up their wine tasting game? What should they focus on?
Engage all your senses and pay attention. Next time you open a bottle, take a moment to look at the color, give it a swirl, see how the aromas change. When you take a sip, don't just gulp it down. Swirl it around, let it linger.
And try to pick out flavors and aromas. I'm going to break out my wine tasting notebook and start taking notes. This has been eye-opening. I have a whole new appreciation for wine tasting.
And remember, the most important thing is to enjoy it. Don't get too hung up on identifying every aroma or impressing people with fancy words. Just relax, savor each sip, and let your senses guide you.
Couldn't agree more. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive. But before we go, I have one last thought. We've talked about how aroma compounds create this, like, symphony of flavors. But did you know, researchers are exploring how they might actually enhance nutrient uptake. So that glass of red might be more than just delicious. It could be beneficial, too.
Now that's something to think about. It seems like there's always more to discover about wine.
For sure. Yeah. It just goes to show that even familiar rituals, like swirling and sniffing, can have hidden depths.
It's a reminder to always be curious. Who knows what other secrets are out there?
Well said. So until next time, keep exploring, and cheers to unlocking even more sensory adventures.